Wild is a play that asks whether it's a crime to report a crime, and what happens when you leak files revealing top-secret government surveillance. Welcome to MTC Talks. I'm joined today by director Dean Bryant, who can tell us more about this play from Olivier Award-winning playwright Mike Bartlett. Dean Bryant, thank you for joining me again.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about your upcoming production of Wild. The script is inspired by the life of Edward Snowden, but yes, it's not his story. What is Wild about?
Wild takes the Edward Snowden kind of story as a jumping off point, I think, to explore why a person would do what Snowden did, but then not be bound by the actual facts of the Snowden case. So for those listening, Edward Snowden worked for the NSA. He actually worked for a contractor for the NSA, but had high security clearance. And what he found while working there was that they were able to spy on their own citizens, the US citizens, basically. They were actually spying on the whole world, but if people from other countries talked to American citizens, they were allowed to do that. So basically, in that case, they could spy on their own citizens through their own emails, through social media, through various things that we would have considered private. So he gathered all the top secret documents, archived them, took them with him and fled to Hong Kong. Well, he didn't flee at that point because he wasn't being chased by anyone, but he went to Hong Kong and invited a couple of journalists and a documentary maker over to Hong Kong, where he revealed who he was and this information that he had, and then they revealed it in stories in The Guardian especially, and that's when it all came out. Of course, as soon as the American government found out who he was through this particular exposés, they began chasing him, and he fled at that point from Hong Kong, ending up in Moscow. So our story takes that situation, high-level government employee releases information that proves that the US is spying on its own citizens as its jumping-off point for a drama to explore that.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting, especially in our current times where, you know, expressions like fake news are used every day, and there's this constant feel of mistrust within our own political leaderships worldwide, and also within our, obviously, our private corporations. Facebook are currently under investigation for violating their own privacy practices. Mm-hmm. So it's really topical and current, and just seems to be kind of never ending. I mean, people almost seem a bit conditioned to it.
Yeah, like, well, that's one of the interesting points the play explores. So we start with our fictionalized version of Snowden, who's called Andrew in the play, being essentially interrogated by, well, not interrogated, it starts to feel like that, but really just met by someone in a Russian hotel room who is from a WikiLeaks-type organization, again, fictionalized, who are basically rescuing him, who have offered him the room and protection and asylum in Russia, if. And what the play is partially about is what does he have to do to get their protection? And also, once you've blown the whistle, once you've dobbed in your government who are there to protect you, well, if they're not going to protect you anymore, who is going to? What happens to you in life when you say, I don't trust you anymore, but you're left with nothing to trust? It kind of explores the idea of how important is privacy actually to us when put up against security and comfort.
Mm. And what happens when you're essentially made stateless, you know?
Yeah.
It's
a really weird way to, because you never think of yourself that way. Just like, I don't know, I haven't lost a parent. Of course, a lot of people have lost a parent. And I feel like from when I talk to friends who've become orphans, they say, you just can't imagine what it feels like till it happens. It feels like it wouldn't make that much of a difference apart from, you know, grieving. But actually that weird feeling of, oh my God, there's no one above me anymore. There's no one looking after me. And the feeling I think that the character would have realizing what being stateless really means for the first time is pretty terrifying. And the play explores the terror, I think, more than anything, of when you have rejected something because you think it's corrupt, and you have chosen to remove all these things that you called yourself and relied on in your life, what are you going to? What is left for you? If there's nothing left for you, can you live? How do you live when you don't have basic agreements? And in an almost absurdist way, and the play is quite funny, which is, humor is always a great way into issues and current affairs and that kind of discussion, it sort of absurdly points out, once you give up trusting anything, you can't function anymore, because it's a series of agreements that we all make every day that enables us to live our lives. And we really want the freedom to live our lives. We don't just want non-specific freedom. We want to go, I want to know that if I own or rent this house, that means something. It doesn't mean anything. No one can keep you in your house if someone determined to take you out of your house. Mm-hmm. But we have all agreed that a contract called a mortgage means you own that house. Mm-hmm. A different contract called a rental agreement means you rent it. But if that goes, if we don't agree with those things anymore, then you're screwed. And we have those agreements about every single thing in our life all the way through.
It's just structure versus
it's structure.
Anarchy, really.
Totally, exactly. Yeah. They are the group that he works with basically describes themselves early on as, well, we're basically anarchists. And that sounds sexy. Anarchism sounds like really appealing, but the actuality of it is a very stressful existence.
Mm-hmm. I heard something recently or read something that said the only difference between humans and other animals is that we all agree collectively to believe in these imaginary systems and functions, like what is money?
Yeah.
It's just we all have decided that a $50 note is worth $50 and a $1
absolutely.
Coin
money's
is
the
worth
best of them, of all the agreements, because it's the one that kind of is the thing that we all chase our lives a lot or base most of our decisions around, and yet it is just an agreement that a printed out thing equals this amount of
value.
Something, which is, I guess, why, I mean, God, I don't want to go into Bitcoin because I really don't understand it. But
much.
It is like, isn't Bitcoin just a digital version of what we always thought money was anyway? We just agree that this is this. So now we're going to make decisions based on that agreement.
But I guess what's so fascinating about the Snowden story and all of the what's happening in the world at the moment is that technology has moved at a pace that as a society we have not been able to keep up with and legislate with for.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So our information and our privacy and our data, I mean, data is such a commodity now.
Yes.
And we don't remember ever collectively agreeing to that. The corporations and our governments have made these
things
kind
that
of decisions
suit them really well
on behalf
absolutely.
Of us without our consultation or consent, and that's the really terrifying thing.
Yes, it's the inability. I mean, what I think what underlies the play is that terror of we don't really understand our lives anymore. We don't really understand what things we agreed to or that we didn't even agree to that are happening. And because we don't understand it, we put our faith in something called government, essentially, which is fine. As long as you can fully trust the government, as long as you're willing to give your faith there, you can live your life because you trust that someone in the government, they're so big now, these governments, is looking after you. And Wilde takes as its starting point, and if the government isn't, if they don't have your best interests at heart, if they are indifferent to you, if they're actively against you, then what are you relying on? Then how are you going to live your life? And I think Andrew, our hero, thinks by revealing this, that they don't have our best interests at heart, it's going to make things improve. And what I think he discovers over the play is that maybe people are happy to trade that off if they can still have some of that nice security.
Mm. Very interesting stuff. You were working with Andrew Bailey as your set designer, and Andrew is known at MTC for creating experimental sets and kind of employing stage trickery, for example, using treadmills in his stage floors and having popping set elements. What can we expect to look forward to from Andrew and your collaboration?
Yeah, it's a very specific choice to have Andrew on this play because of trickery. As we've talked about already, one of the major themes is trust and reliance. And we are set in a hotel room. It's a thriller, basically. Like, we talked about this before, it's a comedy thriller or an absurdist thriller, and that's great. You'd expect to be in a Moscow hotel room for that. That's a pretty common setting. But as Andrew loses his faith in the structures of his life in general, the hotel room starts to behave in unreliable ways as well, and he starts to lose a sense of even the basic physical laws of life. So interpret that as you will, but we have to see the set behaving like that as well.
Amazing. We saw the enormity of your production of Vivid White at the end of last year.
We saw it. We came, we saw, we conquered.
The word on the street is that Wild could actually top Vivid White in terms of its difficulty. Dean Bryant, are you attracted to difficult theatre?
Yes, I am. I am very attracted to difficult. I'm attracted to things that challenge what I've done before, because if you're just doing the same thing over and over again, that's a kind of tedious. Of course, everything is thematically and character-wise different, and that's exciting. But I must say, when I read Where Wild Goes, I was thrilled to think there has to be a way to do this, and I want to be there when we make it happen. I think it'll be exciting to see something like this. I feel like it's a bit of a roller coaster ride. I want to kind of get the audience in, give them some ideas, and then spit them out again going, whoa, that was intense. I feel like it's that kind of play.
Amazing. You've got a very talented cast working with you. Can you tell us about Nick Denton, Toby Schmitz, and Annalise Phillips?
Yeah, fantastic actors cast. All quite young. Everyone's, you know, around, you know, under 40. And that's what I call young now that I'm 41. Nick was the lead in Jasper Jones for us at MTC, and he's one of the most exciting actors I have had. He auditioned for me for a play a few years ago, and I just was like, I didn't know anything about him. He hadn't done Jasper at that point. And when he walked into the room, I was like, But as soon as he started acting, I was like, this guy's incredible. I can't take my eyes off him. And I've been looking for something to work with Nick ever since. And I feel excited that MTC gets to put him in essentially his first adult role. This role of, you know, a young man in IT, essentially, who does not know the ramifications of his decision, is perfect to kind of let Nick at. So he's our young'un. And then Annalise and Toby are the kind of man-woman roles in it, who come and interrogate him, basically. And they are both, you know, fantastically diverse actors. They've worked a lot between theatre and also film and television. Both of them have done, like, serious movies and TV shows. Annalise did Devil's Playground TV show. Toby just finished Newton's Law and Black Sails, which is apparently a very popular pirate show out of South Africa. But their hearts are the theatre world, so it's fantastic to get them back and onto a text like this.
And have you worked with them before?
I haven't worked with anyone in the cast before. It's a little bit scary, actually, to go, oh, God, I'm going to be spending the whole time with not strangers after the first day, but, yeah, people that I have to figure out stuff with. I'm going to be the Andrew in the room trying to figure out what's going on.
And what do you think they can look forward to about your rehearsal room?
What can they
short
look
lunch
forward?
Breaks.
Sure, probably long ones. They can look forward to really getting into the text, because obviously that's where I really start from. Just making sure we understand Mike Bartlett, the writer's world, every word that a writer chooses. It's funny, because I don't think writers do think about them when they put them down, but they do really. It's come from somewhere. Like, writers think for so many years and months and whatever leading up to actually putting finger to keyboard. And I think if you spend that kind of mining time with the text early on, like, oh, why is that full stop there instead of there? Like, it doesn't weigh you down. It just opens up imaginative pathways. But I think because Wild is also a relatively short script compared to other ones I've done, we've got a lot of room to kind of play with non-textual stuff and mood and atmosphere and all that kind of thing too.
And silence. Yeah. To finish off, Dean, can you tell us who is Wild for? We've spoken about it being this kind of whip-smart political Guardian reading piece, but you also mentioned that it's funny, and it is. It's it's dry and it's witty and it...
I reckon it's for the sort of people who love to watch like the Rachel Maddow Show, Samantha Bee, Seth Meyers, Trevor Noah, like all that kind of... Oh, John Oliver. You know, those people that are so charming and funny and smart and are taking tough political kind of ideas that do relate to all of our lives, but finding a really absurd satirical way into it. So you're like, God, I hadn't thought about that. Oh, that's also hilarious and terrifying. So yeah, it's for people who love a thriller, but love to kind of be entertained while they're thrilled.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to opening night and good luck with your difficult production.
Thank you.
Wild plays at South Bank Theatre, The Sumner, from the 5th of May to the 9th of June. To book tickets, visit mtc.com.au or call the box office on 03 8688 0800.